News Radio.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
And I've been playing another week with Google Glass.
Have you really? Nobody got hurt.
No, but, you know, I've got to be careful where I wear these things. It is very, you know, it does actually disturb people when you wear them around.
It's a strange look.
Yeah, because, you know.
Is that what you mean, that people don't know what you're doing or what you're
wearing?
Well,
they don't know whether I'm photographing them or not. They don't know whether I'm taking
nudes. Do people know that it's Google Glass, or do they?
People are kind of recognize that, mm-hmm. that it's Google Glass.
That maybe it's not some sort of medical appliance or something along the
No, I people recognize it. Now, you know, some people, they say I have Google Glass and they start dancing because they want to make a good video.
Do you wear them while you're wearing your regular glasses, or do you just wear those?
I just wear these. Mm-hmm. Okay, it turns out, you know, I don't have lenses in the Google Glass mm-hmm. that I'm working because I only need glasses to read. So
okay.
when I'm driving, I don't use glasses.
Okay.
And the monitor that I see, the virtual monitor that I see with Google Glass, it's like a 25-inch monitor a couple of feet out in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So that monitor's actually in focus for me.
Oh, no kidding.
So I can see that monitor. I can see the far field. And so I don't need my glasses at all.
I've never even thought about that. That's a good point.
So it's actually in the far field,
yeah.
and it's everything's perfectly in focus when I look through Google Glass. So I think there could be a problem if you need glasses to see long distances.
Mm-hmm.
But then you see you're actually looking. The lens is actually behind the beam splitter. So if you put lenses in here, everything might work.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't. But people look at me a little peculiarly, and you have to be very careful about what you upload inadvertently. And, of course, it was a huge, huge mailbag.
Giant.
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, boy. Wow. I tell you, it's giant.
That's a lot of lifting.
It's a lot of lifting, yeah. These are extremely, extremely heavy heavy electrons. We got an email from Ken Myers. Love your show. I keep missing it, but then I know you've got a podcast. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Please put the time and day and station call letters on your EDU website. It would make it a lot easier for most people to find where you live. I prefer live radio listening. Of course, I found it for some reason, and I thought you were live on Sundays, proving that I need more education. Thanks again for a great show, Ken Myers. Well, the time actually is on the Tech Talk webpage. You don't go to Stratford.edu. You can go to techtalkonline.com, which is one of the back pages of the Stratford website. And the time is there. It's, of course, 1500 a.m. In the Washington, D.C. area at 9 a.m. Now, the easiest way to listen to it, I think, is just using your smartphone. I download the TuneIn Radio app. The TuneIn Radio app, which is what Federal News Radio is on.
Mm-hmm.
Other radio stations use the iHeart Radio app, but we're on the TuneIn Radio app. So you download that to your Android phone or your smartphone, and then just search for Federal News Radio. Then you just turn on that app, go to Federal News Radio at 9 a.m. Sunday morning, or Saturday morning, Saturday morning,
Saturday.
And you can listen to the show anywhere in the world.
Yep.
And so it's extremely convenient to do that. Thanks for listening, Ken, and I'm glad you really like the show. We got an email from Arnie in Crownsville, Maryland. Arnie's a long-term listener. Hi, Dr. Schertz. I saw this story on BBC News. Users of the Darknet mm-hmm. service Tor who visited hidden websites may have had their identities revealed by a 5-month-long cyber attack. Now, this TOR thing, T-O-R, has showed, you know, has been showing a lot of interest recently. I sent you a couple of emails about it. I mean, this is where the Soviets are trying to hack it. I mean, who actually uses TOR? It seems like governments have a lot of interest. Is there any particular common people like me would be using it? What's the whole thing about? Thanks, Arnie in Crownsville, Maryland. Well, TOR is an interesting story. TOR was originally designed and implemented and deployed as the third generation Onion Router project of the U.S. Naval Research Lab. So it was developed by the government, by NRL. And it's called TOR stands for the Onion Router. That's what it stands for, because it was layers of encryption. And layers, you would have this network where you go from one place to another place, to another, and it was sort of layered. Your identity was layered, and so it was like peeling back an onion to try to find you. So that's where the name originally came from. But the acronym is no longer used by the developers. So it was developed by the NRL, and actually it's used for a wide variety of purposes, just by normal people, military people use it, journalists use it, law enforcement officers use it, activists use it, and many others. Now, TOR is actually a network of virtual tunnels and virtual servers that are run by volunteers around the world, and it just tunnels your information from one server to another server, and it cascades it. So it would be very hard to track you down after you've cascaded through 8 or 9 servers on this network. So TOR provides a foundation for a wide range of applications that allow organizations and individuals to share information over public networks without compromising privacy. Now, TOR can be used just by individuals if you want to keep people from tracking the kind of websites you're looking at. Or if you don't want people to track all what you're doing on instant messaging, you can keep all that. You can keep all that local to yourself. Or if you want to go to a particular website that's blocked either by where you're working or by the country where you're at. Journalists use this a lot, especially when they are communicating with whistleblowers or with dissidents who don't want to be tracked. They want to keep their anonymous location, their name and all. It's used by journalists a lot. Non-government organizations use it to allow workers, NGOs, to allow workers to connect to the home website while they're visiting a foreign country without notifying everybody nearby that they work with that organization. See, it may be that they're in a dangerous country. People don't know they work for this particular NGO, and they want to go back to the home website. They go back through TOR, and nobody can tell what's going on. Activist groups use it, like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and they recommend it. They recommend that as a great mechanism for maintaining civil liberties. They think it's part of sort of their libertarian sort of agenda, where you want to keep government out of your business. It was used by Edward Snowden exclusively, because he didn't want his boss, the NSA, to track what he was up to. Now, he used the anonymous operating system Tails, which is the companion operating system that goes with TOR. So he would have Tails on a thumb drive. He'd put that in, and that would go out through TOR, and all of his nefarious activities were done under the cloak of under the cloak of encryption. The funny thing is, TOR is really good, and it's teed off the NSA that it's so good. And NRL is just proud of the fact that they've come up with an encryption technique that's, stymieing the NSA. The Russians don't like it because it's just darn good. So that's why there are all of these funded programs by the NSA and by the Russians to try to crack TOR so that they can track who's actually using it. So even though the NSA is funding programs to crack TOR, TOR is also supported by other agencies of the government. So TOR was really developed by the federal government initially through an NRL initiative, and it's gone on. So it's got a great history, and that was a nice email, and it has come into the news more recently because there was a company, a hacker, that discovered a vulnerability in TOR that they highly publicized, and so that was in the news. And there was also in the news that the Russians were paying about $100,000 if somebody could find a vulnerability in Tor. And NSA has a similar kind of program. So that's why it was in the news, and then, of course, Edward Snowden used it. We got an email from Ian in Greenbelt. Ian in Greenbelt. First time that Ian has sent us an email. Dear Tech Talk, explain the hotspot on my cell phone. I have this feature, but I can't activate it without paying some additional fees. Is it worth it? I just don't quite know what it is. I just found it in the menu. I enjoy the show every Saturday. Thanks, Ian in Greenbelt. Well, with a mobile hotspot, with a mobile phone hotspot, you can create an internet connection for up to 5 mobile devices on a 3G phone or up to 10 mobile devices on a 4G LTE smartphone. So what happens is you activate the hotspot and you can create your own secure Wi-Fi network. So suppose somebody's got an iPad without internet access, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you've got internet access through your cell phone, just turn on your hotspot, and then the iPad can connect to your cell phone, and then the iPad's got internet access, which is kind of nice. And you don't have to buy an iPad with internet access, which costs a lot more money.
Sure.
You don't have to buy an iPad with 3G or 4G access, which costs a lot more money. Just get a regular Wi-Fi enabled one and connect it through your hotspot. So it's very convenient, this hotspot. You don't need any USB cable. Multiple users can use it. Now, you've got to keep in mind, though, that when you are connected to your hotspot, you're using your data plan. So if you let somebody connect to your hotspot and they all of a sudden start streaming a lot of videos, you could eat up a lot of data. So just be mindful of that. Now, the other thing that's interesting about hotspots, they support both Bluetooth hotspots as well as Wi-Fi hotspots. So when you activate the hotspot, you can connect to the hotspot, the internet access, either through a Bluetooth connection or through a Wi-Fi connection. So, for instance, Google Glass connects to the hotspot on my iPhone using Bluetooth. It doesn't use the Wi-Fi connection. It uses the Bluetooth connection. So that's actually quite good. Now, the rub is that many carriers charge extra for activating the mobile hotspot. And this is really unfair. You've already paid for the data.
Right.
And all you're doing is connecting to use your own data that you paid for, and they charge you more without giving you more data a lot.
Do you know which providers don't charge to do that?
Well, if you've got an iPhone, you've got to pay for it. But if you've got an Android, you can actually install a hotspot app, and
Do you know how much it costs?
It's about $10 a month.
Oh, forget that.
But I've got Verizon. I've got Verizon, and I got the what they call the Anywhere plan, where you can hook up to 10 devices.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got the Anywhere plan, the hotspot was just treated as another device. So in that case, it didn't cost me anything.
Oh, okay.
But in order to get the Anywhere plan, I had to give up my unlimited data plan that I had. And so, which I hated to do because I'd had my unlimited data plan grandfathered in forever. But I went back and looked at the data. I hardly use any data because I'm not a big movie watcher.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I had unlimited data, but I was using less than a gigabyte a month.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, okay, I guess it would be nice to have it in the future, but because it turns out whenever I use any high data applications, I'm always on Wi-Fi,
uh-huh,
either at home or at work. And the only and when I'm in between home and work, I'm in the car, and it's just emails. So
right.
I gave that up, and so I've activated my hotspot. And without my hotspot activated, I couldn't have connected Google Glass. So
mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I was able to do that. So that was a great email from Ian in Greenbelt. Wanted to know about hotspots. We got an email from Duke in Ohio. Another Ohio email.
Yes.
Dear Tech Talk, I enjoyed your Google Glass segment last week. Now, I'm trying to determine whether to buy a Google Glass. Please provide some additional reviews about the strengths and weaknesses of Google Glass. Now, I'd like to take this to a private club here in Ohio.
Ooh, boy.
Go to a private club here in Ohio and have some fun. How much is it, and where can I buy it? Love the show, Duke in Ohio.
He's of those Ohio people, it seems.
Yeah, you know, Duke. I'd be careful you take it as a private. I don't know what kind of private club you're talking about, but I'd be very, careful if you take that Google Glass.
It's not a golf club.
They might rip this Google Glass right off your face. So you have to be very careful of that. In fact, there are some bars that will bar Google Glass because people view it's like a violation of privacy.
Yeah.
So I've been worrying around this week. Nobody cares if I wear it to McDonald's. So I can go to McDonald's. It's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can go to a Chinese restaurant. But if you go to a bar where people just don't want picture, you know, not that they're doing anything wrong. They just don't want pictures of them sitting at the bar drinking a scotch.
Mm-hmm.
They really don't like somebody going around with Google Glass because they can't tell whether the video is on or they can't tell whether the picture is on. So I could be sitting there with the video on. And I could be recording everything someone's saying. I could have a picture of them. And then I click a button, and it's automatically uploaded to YouTube. Just like happened last week with David. We were playing with the Google Glass in the studio during the show last week. David just was randomly hitting the glasses trying to get him to do something.
Accidentally touched the button.
He uploaded the entire video by mistake to YouTube. Now, you know, that actually could be dangerous.
Could be very dangerous.
Could be very dangerous. Now, fortunately, we weren't doing anything inappropriate in that video, but I could see where somebody could just be doing something inappropriate, and they say, oops, it's on YouTube.
It's on YouTube now.
And now it's already going viral. Okay, let's talk about Google Glass. First of all, rumor has it that the second version, Google Glass 2, is going into production. So my advice is don't buy Google Glass right now. Wait for the 2 to come out.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, we've got one Google Glass, one at the Stratford, which we're using it for testing in the classrooms to see if we can use this for content generation. We only bought one because we know that they're going to be improved Google Glass coming out. So I would just wait actually a little bit. I'd probably also go to that private club and ask what their policy is about you wearing Google Glass because I'm going to think if you show up there with Google Glass, he'll put a bag over your head.
Or worse.
Or worse. So
or your butt in the street.
Yeah. Now, the thing is, with Google Glass, I mean, it's actually not, I think, ready for prime time yet. There are a number of issues. It's fun to play with, but it's got issues. So let's go down them. Navigation.
Okay.
I can use navigation on this, and, you know, I can, and it uses Google Maps for navigation, which now I don't like as well as Waze because Google Maps does not dynamically respond to traffic. And Waze maps are actually more accurate than Google Maps now. I can only use Google Maps. And the problem is it's so distracting because it goes off. I'm always fiddling with my glasses. It's probably safe, but it's not as safe as just having Waze, you know, on my phone, and it just talks to me through the Bluetooth audio system. Because the Google Glass, you know, when I'm in navigation, it turns off, and sometimes it's hard to get it to turn back on again. And then the screen is quite small, so you can't get the big picture. But it's, if you don't have any other navigation system, it's okay. But it's probably quite distracting, and if you're in a very complicated maneuver, you got to make turns and everything. I think you'd have trouble with that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take a little bit more work there. Now, pictures and video. Now, what they've done is they want you to only be in the Google ecosystem. So they upload everything automatically to Google Plus. Which, by the way, you've got to be really careful on how it's loaded to Google Plus. If you've got friends on Google Plus, they might see everything that just automatically uploads and you don't even know it. So you've got to really watch the permissions. Because when you click on this thing and it just says share it, it just, you know, you've got a list of things. And suppose you want to share it to the public. Suppose the option to share to the public is the current option that's up there, and you want to cancel it, you just do a down swipe to cancel the current command. The problem is the down swipe doesn't always work. So one time I had some random picture, and it said I was going to send it to somebody, and I didn't want to send it. I hit a down swipe, But when I hit the down swipe, it actually sent them. It sent this random picture to this guy. So I'm thinking, well, that, you know.
That's not good.
That's not good. So then I emailed him and said, sorry, I sent you this picture. Just forget it. You know, it was a mistake. But it was just a random picture, and it went to, because it's only connected to my Google contacts, so it went to the first guy on the list whose name started with an A.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay. So I wrote him. I said, just forget that picture. I mean, it wasn't a special picture, but it'd just be confusing why I would be sending him that picture.
Sure.
And the other thing is, these pictures, they get on Google Plus. Like I'll do a video, which will be a giant file. It gets on Google Plus. I can't forward that video to anybody unless they have a Gmail account or unless they have a Google Plus account. Now, finally, if you fiddle around with the menus, you can find a way to download stuff from Google Plus to your computer as a zipped file. Then you can expand the zipped file into files. But now the problem is I've got now this giant video file. Normally, if it were on my iPhone, I would send it by iMessage. It's too big to send by email.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm stuck. And so they kind of lock you into this Google ecosystem, which, you know, is uncomfortable because I'm already locked in the Apple ecosystem, mm-hmm. and they just don't get along very well. Now, sharing limitations, you know, I said you've got to use Google Plus and the Gmail account. So I've got a whole bunch of contacts in my Outlook account. I can't import any of those contacts. So I have got to log into the Glass application on my PC, and I've got to manually add contacts to Glass, and then I can get them. There's no way to import Outlook contacts. So the whole thing is designed to lock you in, and I just really don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can send emails. Now, and you've got everything is voice activated, so you can say send an email. Of course, I can only send it to somebody who's a Gmail account. And then I can just start speaking, and I tell you, the voice recognition is fantastic. The problem is that if I pause for, you know, like you got a thought, maybe you pause mm-hmm. for like 3 seconds, it shuts it down, compresses it, and says, where do you want to send it? And you can't go back.
Oh.
I can't, like when you're dictating something, you have a pause between sentences. The normal think pause that I have between sentences is too long. So, I end up writing these emails that truncate too quickly, and that's the same thing if I dictate notes to it. So that's a small problem that I had with it. Now the bone conduction audio, you know, the audio system, it vibrates. There's a point that vibrates on the portion of the Google Glass that goes over your ear, and it presses against the bone right behind your ear, and that's the audio connection, and that is surprisingly good. I really like that, and voice recognition is extremely accurate. I can talk, and it just gets it right away. Now, as far as receiving calls, I can receive calls with Google Glass. They come to my phone. The Google Glass is connected to my Bluetooth hotspot on my phone, and I can talk, and I can hear them through the bone conduction audio. But when I'm talking to someone, the audio quality that they receive is not that good because the mic is somewhere in the glasses and it's not directly in front of me. So people say, you know, I can't hear you that well. I can hear them, but they can't hear me that well. So I end up giving up on Google Glass and just picking up the phone and talking to them normally. So it's not quite ready for prime time yet, but it's a lot of fun to play with. It's probably worth experimenting. Now, here's some of the apps that I've got. They've got a Compass app. So you can actually, you know, you're going around, somebody says go east, you just say, okay, Glass, and you say, you know, give me Compass, and the Compass comes up, and it shows you which direction you're going. As you turn around, you can look at the directions. They've got Duolingo. This is a way to learn. It has flashcards, and you can actually go through basically a one-semester language class, learning Spanish, learning French, and it'll just flash the cards up. You'll hear what the word is, and then you can actually, you know, as you're just going through your day, you can learn a language. That's kind of a neat application.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Evernote's integrated where you can, you know, you can upgrade, you can send notes to yourself through Evernote. You'll have the same problem that when you dictate, if you pause too much, then you got a problem. They've got a Facebook, and you can upload pictures and comments to Facebook, but it could be a little dangerous.
Sure. Well,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's just like I installed the YouTube application and we uploaded a YouTube video, so You know, you just might have things shooting up the face. Now, theoretically, you can control exactly what goes up, but for all the reasons that I said, difficulty of working the menuing system and swiping down and selecting things, it could be a problem. And then the rights, who's allowed to see it on Facebook, it's, you know, how that's going to be set up. Gmail works. Gmail is integrated quite nicely, as you'd expect. It works really well. Google Calendar works well if you use Google Calendar. I use the Outlook Calendar, and I can't import that into this thing because it's not in the Google ecosystem. See, at least Apple lets me bring my Outlook Calendar into my iPhone. So there's not a good integration yet. This is why I said it's not ready for prime time. Google Now is good. It gives you events that are coming up. That it gives you what they call these little cards that you look at and events that are there. Google Now, it's quite nice. Like I drove down to Richmond the other day, and so Google Glass knew that I'd be going back home, and so it gave me a traffic report on how the traffic was like going back to home, going back to Northern Virginia. Huh. It sort of gave me that as one of my updates, which is kind of a Google Now deal. That's a nice feature. Of course, it's integrated to Google Plus. They just love to get you into Google Plus, and then they don't want you to get out of it. Live stream is neat. I can say start broadcasting, and I can broadcast a live video stream, and I can post it directly to the web, right from Glass.
That could also be a problem.
That could be a problem. Now the problem is when these glasses start broadcasting a live video stream. This is at 720p. 720 progressive. It's not HD. It's not bad, but it's not HD. 720p. After about 5 or 6 minutes, it get extremely hot, and then I get the message that it may be too hot to operate. So this is not really set up for a continuous stream of
sure.
of video. But you can do a few minutes of video, and it's okay. And the live stream's kind of nice. I like MindMeister. You can mind map, and so I can just say. I want to do notes. I just say take a note, and it will come up, and I can just speak to it as long as I don't pause too much. It's the same old pause, and it goes into my mind map. And so I've been using the MindMeister application for just keeping track of thoughts as I was, you know, going around. It's sort of very nice. I like Shazam. I can just, you know, somebody has this music on, and I can just say, okay, Glass, recognize this, and it gives me the name of the song and who the artist is automatically. That's great if you want to really look like you know music. I mean, I need help with this because knowing all the latest songs is not really my forte.
Not your forte.
I'm kind of locked into 3 decades ago.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Now, I like Star Charts. This is another application. I'm only talking about the apps that I've downloaded. They got about 100 apps. I've just downloaded about 20. Star Charts is sort of neat. You actually look up in the sky, and you'll see the stars, and then it will superimpose over the stars the names of the constellations and the shape. So you look around, and the constellations shift as you're looking in a different direction. So it's a great way to learn the constellations. So you got kids, they could look up and see. That's a very neat application. Stopwatch is nice, you know, if you want to keep track of, you know, you're running, you want to keep track of time. Trackendo. This gives the last known GPS location of your Google Glass. This is what I wish I would have had installed with the first one that got stolen. But Trackendo was not installed on it, so I couldn't do it. Now, this could be very convenient for Twitter, because Twitter, you know, it's 140 characters, fairly short, and so you could just speak something Twitter. You could just speak it, and it's up.
Mm-hmm.
But also dangerous.
Of course.
I mean, you could just say, you could just be really teed off and say, I'm going to tweet this and just say something, and pretty
and boom,
soon
it's everywhere.
It's everywhere, and then you regret it. Tumblr is there. This is easy, uploading of pictures. That's like a social website for sharing pictures. What's Around is sort of neat. You just say, Google, what's around? And it gives you all of the nearby attractions combined with a compass. So if you're and as you turn around and point it a different direction, it shows you what features are in that direction and how far they are. So as you're just going around in a circle, you see all the different features. And you can filter this on restaurants, on parks, whatever you want. It's kind of nice. It actually integrates probably with Wikipedia or something. I don't know. It's a very convenient interface. I like that what's around. The word lens is nice. I can look at it translates five languages. So I could look at a sign in Spanish, and it translates the Spanish sign into English in the same font. So it looks like the actual sign has just been translated and reformatted in English. And so you just look at it a while, and then pretty soon the English just appears. I mean, so it's that is actually a very clever thing.
Yeah.
Now, word of the day, this, you know, these people, you want to learn a new word every day. So every day I install that up. Every day I get a new word, and then I look at the definition. And then, of course, YouTube is very tightly integrated. And as we saw last week, you can upload a YouTube video. So I'd say it's a lot of fun, but I would not spend $1,500 for it now, Duke. And that was a very good email.
Yes, it was. So, Doc, you want to get more emails.
Yeah, we love your emails. So send us an email, your emails to techtalk@stratford.edu, and we'll cover them on the show, or I may even write back to you directly.
There you go. It's Saturday morning. This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Be right back. More after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn by doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University, changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk. We're in the virtual faculty lounge of Stratford University. Now it's time for
Profiles in IT.
This morning we're going to talk about Dr. Martin Cooper. Now, Marty Cooper was born December 26, 1926, in Chicago. He is considered to be father of the cell phone.
My goodness. What a lofty title.
What a lofty title. He received his degree in electrical engineering from the Illinois Institute of Technology in 1950 and received his master's degree from that same institution in 1957. After 4 years in the Navy, serving on destroyers. He's making that first phone call
right
now. I can hear him making that phone call. After serving with destroyers and on a submarine, he worked for a year at a telecommunications company, at which time he was hired by Motorola. And now that was 1954. Now he worked on developing portable products for Motorola, including the first handheld portable police radios made for the Chicago Police Department. Now you might ask, why was Motorola in the phone business? Because remember, car phones were viewed to be a big product line.
Right.
Back then, nobody thought that mobile phones would have any use. They thought the phone had to be in the car. Of course, they were big. So Motorola, since it was a car component company, was in the car phone business. But they thought they had a bigger idea. Let's try to make it something that's really mobile that you don't have to carry on with the car. Now, Cooper is named on the U.S. patent 3906166 radio telephone system. Now, he made the first. He was competing, by the way, with folks at IBM and at Bell Labs, to try to come up with the first handheld phone system. And so he made a phone call to his rival, Joel Engel, who was the head of research at Bell Labs, and he made that phone call standing on the streets in New York on April 3rd, 1973. Using his cell phone, and he was showing reporters how it would operate. So he actually walked across the street while talking on the phone, and that just wowed the reporters. Now, the original cell phone... Now,
probably didn't sound like that when it was ringing.
No, it didn't. Now, the cell phone that he demonstrated on that first day weighed 1.87 pounds, mm-hmm. Which was 30 ounces. But when they finally released the commercial version of the phone, it was called the Motorola DynaTAC.
Catchy name.
Yeah. Okay, now, get this. This phone, the commercial version of it, was 9 inches long, 5 inches wide,
yeah.
And 1.75 inches thick. It weighed 2.5 pounds.
Fit easily in your pocket, wasn't it?
Now, this is the first commercially available cell phone. It had 30 circuit boards in it. Now, get this. It took 10 hours to charge the battery, and you had a mighty talk time of 35 minutes.
Today's average teenager would burn that phone out in 35 minutes on the first call.
That's right. Now, Cooper, in an interview, I was reading a lot of interviews, Cooper revealed that he got the inspiration to make the cell phone when watching Captain Kirk talking in his communicator on the TV show Star Trek.
Why not?
And that inspired him to do research on the mobile phone. I know, I'm surprised that he admitted that.
Did he also invent those doors that open and shut with that?
Oh, that's a... I would like to have some of those doors in there. I like those doors.
That's true.
Now, Cooper's Law. Cooper's Law is a law which was based on his observation that the number of radio frequencies conversations that can be concurrently conducted on any given area of spectrum has doubled every 30 months. And that doubling has occurred for over 100 years since Marconi's first spark gap transmitter. Now, Cooper believes the next big advancement in wireless cell phone technology will be wide area, high speed internet access via cell phone. We're not quite there yet, but we're walking toward it. He thinks the main reason we're not there yet is that the spectrum is not being used very efficiently, and that in order to really achieve that goal, we need more efficient use of spectrum. And so he started a new company called Arraycom, which is a privately held company out in San Jose, California, which is developing what they call smart antenna technology, where they're going to have smart base stations that use the spectrum more efficiently. Now, we always want to know, did the guy make any money?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now this was, when a reporter asked Marty Cooper this. He was, by the way, a guest on the show a couple years ago. I didn't ask Marty Cooper this, but another reporter asked him that. He says, Marty Cooper answered about the question about wealth. He says, well, I'm rich beyond all imagination in satisfaction and in happiness and in self-fulfillment.
So not in cash.
But not necessarily in dollars and cents. So there we go. Now, I have also in my hands the original press release issued by Motorola in April 3rd, 1973, when that cell phone came out.
And those of us watching at home on the Go...
It's the Outdoor Life Network this week.
Oh, that's right. That's
I want you to know, this press release was released. It's released after 11 a.m. Tuesday, April 3rd, 1973. We at 3WT, we get this news to you fast, as soon as it's...
Right off the presses.
Okay, Motorola demonstrates a portable telephone to be available for public use by 1976. A handheld, completely portable telephone which allows its user to place or receive calls from virtually anywhere in the metro area was demonstrated today by Motorola. And it goes on to say that they think everybody will use this phone, even households.
What, are they crazy?
I don't know. This is what they go. This is an interesting article to read. But I have the original press release here, and I'll put a link to that when we post this show outline to the web.
You need to take that down to the archives building and put it right next to the Declaration of Independence.
I think
it needs to be preserved. The cell phone really has changed everybody's life.
It has.
Everybody has a phone.
Yeah.
Some people have a cell phone and no house phone.
I know. I mean,
right here.
I've actually gone almost 100% to cell phone. We we hardly even check our messages at home
anymore. I never do.
But you know, I really don't like people on the cell phone talking when they're sitting right beside me.
Yeah.
If I'm at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, keeping on the cell phone theme.
Yes.
We have the Ten Commandments of cell phone etiquette.
Yes, we
that
do.
That I thought we should review just in case.
I think this is a great idea.
Just in case you're ever on the on an airline and you've got that cell phone burning a hole in your pocket. Okay. Thou shall not subject defenseless others to cell phone conversations. That's the first commandment.
I'll go for that.
Thou shalt not set thy ringer to play La Cucaracha every time thy phone rings.
Yep.
Thou shalt turn thy cell phone off during public performances. Thou shalt not wear more than two wireless devices on thy belt.
Let me go a step further, if I might. Personal pet peeve, wearing any personal communication device of any type on your belt is a huge fashion faux pas.
That's unless you are a nerd.
Well, there's that. Yep. Unless you laugh like this.
Yeah.
Then it's okay to wear it on your belt, if you don't want to be viewed that way,
right.
Don't wear stuff on your belt.
Thou shalt not dial while driving.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's a problem. Thou shalt not wear thy eyepiece when thou art not on thy phone.
How about the earpiece?
Yes.
Have you ever heard the earpiece?
And the eyepiece.
The earpiece.
Although with the monocle, you can also pick up some signals every now and then.
Yeah, the earpiece.
That's for the video conferencing
call. Looking at that earpiece, you walk around looking like a cyborg with that earpiece.
I keep thinking somebody's got a large bug glued to the side of their head or something.
Thou shalt not speak louder on thy cell phone than thou would on any other phone.
Yes.
Thou shalt not grow too attached to thy cell phone.
So you don't want to have a civil ceremony with your cell phone, right?
No, no. Okay. Thou shalt not attempt to impress others with thy cell phone. And the tenth commandment is, thou shalt not slam thy cell phone down on a restaurant table just in case it rings.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
But it's a good idea that you're spending your Saturday morning with us here on Tech Talk Radio, heard every Saturday at 9 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., 820 a.m., 107.7 FM HD2, on the web at techtalkonline.com and federalnewsradio.com.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
What's the latest innovation in IT degrees? It's the Stratford University innovative approach that turns marketable skills into an employable edge to get you hired faster in today's hottest fields like cybersecurity, data mining, and mobile networking. At Stratford, our IT instructors bring their own business world experience right into the classroom with real-world problem-solving projects structured like a real business, empowering you with real hands-on skills so you can hit the ground running doing exactly what you learn in the classroom, right in the workplace. It's all part of our proven learn-by-doing approach to IT. Every class, every degree, every day. We offer bachelor's, master's, and associate degree programs at our convenient campus locations in Tyson's Corner, Woodbridge, and Alexandria. Contact us today at stratford.edu or give us a call at 800-444-0804. Stratford University. Changing lives, one student at a time.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
And now
it's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now here's your host and star of our show. Nope, it's not Monty Hall. It's not Ed McMahon. It's not Dr. Richard Church. It's this guy right here. And I would be that aforementioned guy right here. My name is Jim Ross. I'm the adjunct professor for lowering academic standards and generally messing things up here on Tech Talk Radio. We just finished talking about Dr. Martin Cooper, the father of the cell phone. In 1954, he went to work for Motorola. If you could tell me one of the projects he worked on there, you will be the winner of today's pop quiz and thereby win two free tickets for fine dining at Stratford University, either the Escoffier at Stratford on the campus in Falls Church or at the Cafe Karim on the campus in Woodbridge. Standing by to take your calls right now is Andrew Mitchell, our adjunct professor for prize distribution and crowd control. But you need to call us, so dial right now. If you're calling from west of San Jose, California, it's 877-936-9333. Calling from east of Chicago, Illinois, it's 877-936-9333. And, of course, the wild card line is 877-936-9333. The pop quiz from Tech Talk Radio.
We have something.
That till I walk
see, okay,
in.
We're sorry, David.
David Burke.
Wow. That's good stuff.
Hey, Doc, I
know you're really excited about the K-Pro.
I didn't want to interrupt your, what do you call that, a testimonial? What is that?
That was Profiles in IT, dude.
Profiles in IT.
Okay. Because
that's an integral part of our program.
So the thing is, did you ever own a K-Pro computer, Dave?
No, I did not. No, I did not.
Did you own an Osborne?
I owned the Atari 2, which had excuse me, the Atari 800. Which had the cassette database. Remember that?
Okay.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Come on, Doc, don't play stupid with me. You had one of those. Come on, you did.
Oh, I never played any games.
No, it's not for game playing.
No, he was all business.
It was all business. Right. Hey, Doc, quickly, because I'm on a short leash this morning.
Oh, sorry to get in your way.
Sorry to get in your way of your show. Sorry about that. Yeah, your guest comes in making demands.
That's right.
No, the iPhone 6. Did you guys talk about this last week?
No.
We're getting to it.
The iPhone 6,
see, this is called, you have to, it's audience psychic. Retention.
There's a lot to talk about, but the focus I want is now that they're claiming that Apple has done all these deals with Amex and
This is the deal, yeah.
And the phone is going to be kind of like everything. Your credit card, your money, everything's right in your phone.
What could go wrong?
Well, see the iCloud.
Yeah, I got your cloud.
So what they've put in the iPhone 6 is near field communication, NFC.
Okay, break that down to us mortals.
It's basically you put your device within 6 inches of something else, and it can communicate.
Oh.
So you basically can take your iPhone, put it near some scanner, and this thing will scan it, and it will transfer your credit card data.
I don't think I like this.
iPhone directly to the device.
We're not doing that.
Nah. Now, but here's
we're not doing
we're
that.
Not doing that.
But here's the here here's
oh, no.
Where I think this
I just bought a new Lexus.
So Apple already has a wallet, which if you ever bought anything on iTunes, you're using the Apple wallet already. You're already using the Apple wallet, and you put a credit card in there. Chances are you don't even remember which credit card it is.
It's not until it expires.
I have to pop up and put the password in for the credit card to work.
Right.
For the credit card to work. And see, what I think they should do, I think you do need this two-factor authorization. So you put the thing up close, and then you've got to put in a code before any money transfers.
Oh.
So if somebody just steals your phone, they can't use it. And since the iPhone has the fingerprint thing, I would suggest that you use the fingerprint thing.
Oh, you would suggest that?
Yeah, I would suggest that. Now, I don't know what...
Because nobody
can
hack your thumbprint.
I actually don't know whether...
They just cut your thumb off and take it with them.
It doesn't work.
Because it needs to be a warm thumb.
It needs to be a hot thumb.
It needs to be a hot thumb.
Hey,
wait a minute.
Stop.
Working on that.
I can hear the computer. We've got hot thumb technology. That's good stuff, Doc.
So the thing is, you'll put in like all your credit cards in here, in your phone. You put that close and you just touch it. Because the thing is right now,
Jimbo and I don't look real happy about it.
Okay, suppose you lose your wallet, somebody gets your credit card.
Yeah.
Is there any two-factor authorization for somebody using your credit card at
no.
a gas pump?
Because those clerks don't even look at the card.
There
anymore.
Is nothing. And in the U.S., we've got that magnetic strip on the back, which can be hacked. It's just there's no RFID chip like they have in Europe. In Europe, they got the little RFID
chip. Okay, Captain Apple, just hold on for a second.
So I'm thinking that the current credit card technology is
I'm
just
tracking
ripe,
them, David.
Is
join
just
the rest
ripe,
of the class.
Is just no. ripe to be put out of business.
No, but let me
they
say
have
something.
Not innovated.
They need to solve the cloud problem, what I understand. Because all of a sudden, everybody in Hollywood who were naked had naked pictures. Now, because something happened in the cloud and people are getting their pictures? Help me out here. What's that mean?
Would you like to talk about that a little bit?
Well, he's on a short leash today. I'm tying that into the credit card thing, because if they're having a problem with their cloud, I'm not getting involved with that. No, not until we figure out what's going on. Right. Excuse me, Jim. I'm hearing crickets.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm supposed to back you up?
Well, no, I thought you
he
were.
He pays my.
Oh,
here
no.
is,
oh I get
he's paying
here
for lunch.
Here is the deal. I believe that they've been waiting for sort of critical mass on this electronic payment system.
Right.
Because the Android phones have had near field communication for a couple of years,
right.
But not enough people were using the payment, so nobody adopted it. Now that Apple has adopted it, it's got credibility.
It's like HD radio,
even with the cloud problem.
Yeah, I think it's. Remember, in the beginning, nobody wanted to buy things online.
Can we talk about the stupid cloud? It's not a cloud. It's a phone wire buried somewhere, and they call it a cloud. Am
okay,
I correct?
It's actually not doing everything.
Don't do the Wizard of Oz story with us, Doc. Come
okay,
on.
Let me explain how the iCloud.
You
want to
say cloud?
Hacked.
That's why.
How the iCloud got hacked?
Yeah.
Let me explain what happened. They were going after specific people, and there are two ways they could have done it. One way is to just social engineer the accounts. You see, you could reset the password, and then it gives you two challenge questions like.
What's your dog's
name? Like, where were you born? What was your dog? Well, see, for these stars who just have everything on Wikipedia, you can look up those two questions.
Right.
And so the problem is that Apple did not have a two-factor authorization for that. They should have sent a text message to the person's cell phone with a number.
And for that lack of detail, we get to see Betty White naked now.
Yeah,
we didn't see Betty White naked.
Now there was also a second flaw that was found. Now this was actually a programming error on the part of the cloud.
This never happened
because they have this Find My Phone feature.
Right.
So it turns out the Find My Phone feature, you have to log into the cloud to use Find My Phone. But the way they set up the software, you could keep guessing the password over and over and over again.
So after three times, they don't cut you off.
No, you could go on forever.
Ever.
And it turned out that there was a program called iBrute. And it was released. It was talked about on Reddit, iBrute. And the day before these pictures were released, they said, oh, by the way, iBrute can be used to hack Find My Phone.
Oh, boy.
And that was on all of the logs.
So that's how they got in.
So they got into these stars' pictures that were in their phones.
So it's a combination of iBrute plus this social engineering where they just guess the two passwords. So
am I so glad I only have dog pictures on my phone?
That's all
I have.
Naked dog pictures.
Well, of course. I mean, now, I don't buy clothes for my dog.
Now here was the problem with these guys in the iCloud. So they took some, say, naked picture with their iPhone.
Right.
And then they deleted
a selfie.
And then they deleted it.
They thought it was deleted.
Yeah, but the problem is, it's uploaded to the iPhone or to the iCloud.
So if you didn't take it off the cloud, it's still in the cloud. It may not be on your phone.
It is still on the cloud. Ooh. And so you've got My Photo Stream.
Right.
It's uploaded to My Photo Stream. So you delete it from your phone, and it's still on the iCloud. So a lot of these pictures, they thought they deleted.
So you got to knock it off both, really.
So you've got to basically delete it from My Photo Stream as well as from my
That's incredible.
You know, so that's what happened. So they thought they had deleted them in many cases.
Are you doing selfies yet, Doc?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Oh, really?
That's the day before the world ends.
Here we go. That's right. It'll be. You know, yeah, it's going to be a good long while. It is going to be a good long while.
Have been
long. So Apple has announced that they are going to fix this one. Programming error in Find My Phone. They've also announced that if anyone is trying to change the password, they're going to send out a push notification to the owner of the account. It'll be a push notification.
It's not trying to hack your deal.
Yeah, or else the other thing that happened, like if you log on with a different device and you synchronize it, it just downloads everything. Mm. So once these guys logged onto the account, they just put in sync. Everything went down, including text messages.
Wow.
Everything in the iPhone backup was just downloaded.
They basically cloned the phone, right?
And the thing is, Apple, if somebody logs on to an iCloud account and syncs up to a new device and downloads everything, Apple does not notify you of that event.
Wow.
So now they're setting up a push notification to notify you of any of that sort of activity. But what they haven't said they're going to do is two-factor authorization, which means you put in the even if you have the password, right. It sends you a text message with a little code, and then you've got to put that code in. If you had two-factor authorization, you couldn't hack these phones. You couldn't hack these accounts.
Doc, why aren't they not on the phone with you right now?
I don't know why they're not doing two-factor authorization. Mr. Cook. Mr. Cook, I know he listens to Tech Talk. Mr. Cook, we want two-factor authorization on the iCloud. Or I'm telling you, your near-field communication and credit card stuff is going nowhere.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because for the unwashed masses like myself, I told you because Comcast does this. When you're trying to change your password on Comcast, right. Like if you have the app for your iPad
or something, times.
You have to they send you the push.
Right. Uh-huh.
I thought it was a pain in the neck. Now that I understand
it's extremely important.
Now that I know how important this is, I get it. But most people probably don't get that and think this is a waste of their time, right?
It seems like it. You know, by the way, you can sign up. On Gmail, you can set it up for two-factor authorization. It's a choice.
No kidding.
You go into the setup and you can ask for that.
Done.
That's a done deal.
Yeah.
Are those the new headphones you're wearing?
Yeah. You like those? They're not the kitchen sponges.
No, they're not.
They sort of look Apple-ish. They look kind of white.
They're Bose.
Oh, Bose. Excuse me.
Wow. Bose.
Bring my wallet.
I'm a professional.
Yeah, you are a professional. Hey, Doc, I have to leave now, but thanks for answering most of my questions because I was concerned about
that. But we're glad you came by.
It was good to see you guys.
I hope you didn't look at any of those pictures that were out there.
No, I
didn't either. I stayed away from that completely.
Probably a good idea.
Imagine the poor fool that cracked into the Kardashian phone. His phone's still downloading. Oh, man.
Downloading.
By the way, the guy
the guy
who got these pictures, he uploaded them to this site called 4chan, the number 4chan, where they've got all sorts of stuff. Things that you really shouldn't be looking at there. There's a lot of hackers that go there. Well, he left kind of a trail.
I'll bet
because
he
actually, the name on his computer was revealed. So actually, this guy, they're going to track down. There was also quite a bit of bragging on the blogs. Hey, look what I did. So now it's not just one person, but they're on the trail of these guys. And it is possible that they could get 10 years for this.
Wow.
Because it's like computer hacking.
Of course.
And in the one case, the one girl who was, an athlete, the pictures were from when she was younger than 18.
So then it's
kiddie porn.
Wow.
And so these guys could pull in a lot of years over this. So it was really not a bright thing to do.
Thank you, Doc. Do you have my exit music?
Well, David, your exit music today is our exit music because that's all we have time for this week. You're listening to Tech Talk. We'll be back next week here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com, the only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.